technology and sports smash up against each other all the time. You hear it happen in each ping of an aluminum bat, every thwack of a graphite golf club, and yes, each gavel of a congressional hearing investigating steroids in baseball. Add to those sounds this one. That is a newfangled, space-aged bowling ball, a ball so advanced that some bowling purists are a little worried. What if a perfect game becomes just a mundane game? Joining me now is Paul Ridenour. He's a research engineer for the United States Bowling Congress. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
So is the United States Bowling Congress, are they purists, or are they sort of, is their job to protect the integrity of the sport?
Our job is to protect the integrity of the sport, and one of the ways we do such is by creating new rules or specifications that address some of these things.
And so part of the rules are what is a legal and what is an illegal bowling ball?
Yes, we actually do specifications on bowling balls, bowling lanes, anything you can possibly think of with the sport of bowling, we deal with specifications on.
So what are the latest trends and how good the bowling balls are becoming?
Well, some of the trends are, you know, it used to be back in the day that they were all pretty similar.
Yeah.
There was nothing inside of them, and the outside of the ball was just a rubber material. They went from rubber to a harder plastic to nowadays, they are very complex polymer shells with different shapes inside, and those shapes will actually do different things depending on some of the measurements we can take on a bowling ball.
Different shapes inside? What do you mean?
Yes. Certain manufacturers think that their shape's the best, some of which look like diamonds, some of which look like light bulbs was a real popular one.
Wait, now the shapes there, I know they're see-through balls, but you just mean inside the balls, they're not there for aesthetic purposes, they're there to guide the ball?
It's about weighting, right? How you would weight the ball?
Kind of. It's like a gyroscope. Based on what's inside of the ball will do different things. So it's not for aesthetic purposes at all. In fact, the bowlers never really see it.
And the really high end of the expensive balls, how much are we talking?
A top-end ball with drilling and those kind of things is about $200 to $250 nowadays.
So what you decided to do is, well, let's look at this thing. Tell me about, well, what were you trying to find in your research? If the bowling balls were unfair or if they were, you know, could back up their manufacturer's claim, what was the thesis you were testing?
Well, what we were really testing is saying what actually impacts ball motion.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at 20 different variables, anywhere from the cover stock to the room temperature. We looked at environmental conditions to what's inside the bowling balls to a lot of different things. And what we found from that is we found that what's on the outside of the ball is very important, and then what's on the inside is the secondary importance, and then finally the environmental conditions.
Okay, so give me some of your findings. What makes a good bowling ball on the outside?
Well, what makes a good bowling ball on the outside is the porosity of the outer shell.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a polymer-type compound, it has a certain porosity to it, and all bowling balls will absorb the oil that they actually put on the bowling lane. The more porous a cover stock is and the rougher a cover stock is, the stronger the ball reaction will be.
And does that mean, is that a good thing, a strong ball reaction? You want it to pick up the waxes on the lane?
It depends on what course you're on. You know, if I'm 50 feet away from the green, I'm not going to break out my driver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how we really compare bowling balls nowadays, is there are certain bowling balls that are your driver, your really strong bowling balls, and you need those on some of the tougher courses that we play on, such as what the pros bowl on. The patterns that the pros bowl on all have animal names to them.
And you're talking, Paul, I'm sorry, you're talking about the pattern on the lane?
Right.
Pattern of oil.
The pattern of oil. And they're delineated according to these animal names. Okay, sorry, I'm just trying
to figure out. Right, on the Pro Tour, they're delineated by animal names.
Okay.
And it's just a different course.
Okay, it just means a different course. Are they in level of difficulty? Like, is the tiger harder than the whatever, lion?
Somewhat.
Cheetah?
The cheetah is actually one of them. The cheetah is the highest scoring of all the patterns. It's also the shortest of all the patterns. There are five different animals. It's the cheetah, viper, chameleon, scorpion, and shark. The shark pattern's named because it's the longest of the patterns and it's the slickest of the patterns.
Wow. So this isn't happening at my local bowlero. I mean, these oil patterns, this kind of waxing, this is only happening at a very professional level we're talking about, right?
Well, the courses at your local house are usually a little bit easier. Obviously, they want people to come in and feel good and score high and do more business at the bar and those kind of things. We actually regulate the oil pattern and put it on the lanes, but we really gear these patterns towards more of the sport of bowling.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the recreational side of bowling.
Now, when you talk about the porosity.
Porosity,
which I would call porousness, of the ball, can you just feel that? Would I know by feeling it how porous my ball was?
Not really. It's a very tough thing to just feel.
So you really need a professional research engineer such as yourself to determine porosity.
I guess that's why they pay me the big bucks.
I guess. What about those shapes in the middle? Is light bulb better than diamond?
Not necessarily. It depends, again, on the pattern you're bowling.
I see.
We take some measurements from the actual inside shape, which we call the core,
mm-hmm.
One of which is a real technical term called the radius of gyration. It's a big physics
Sounds
term.
Very play. Sexy.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I could say big words. I went to Purdue. They teach us that there.
Yeah. Go Boilermakers.
Go Boilers.
Yeah. Were you a bowling major, by the way?
No, I wasn't. I was actually an engineer.
How many bowling courses did you take?
Actually, zero.
I took two, and I went to Emory.
I'm a decent bowler. I'm not at that like Team USA or professional level, but I'm a decent bowler.
What's a decent bowler? What's your average?
My card average is around 210.
That's pretty good.
I have one 300. I have one 290.
Wow. So in terms of measuring and using your research, conducting these studies, how do you do it?
We actually use a robotic ball thrower called Harry. And with Harry, we can actually place the ball in there a certain way, and it's consistently will rotate around a certain point all the time.
Right, because you have to eliminate that variable of the bowler.
Right.
Right. So
we eliminate a lot of variables in the process, such as drilling pattern for the balls,
mm-hmm.
Texture on the surface of the ball. We actually sand all the balls to the same texture, but the porosity of the balls will be different.
Did you come up with a basic recommendation that certain balls are approaching the limits of what could be considered fair?
What we really came from it was a specification on what's called surface roughness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a chemistry specification on the surface of the bowling ball. We get a measurement from a very tiny needle that's dragged across a very small portion of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually specifying that reading at a certain texture cannot be above 50 micro inches,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very small. But above that mark, bowling balls will not be approved starting in April of 2009.
Does that mean people own balls, even $250 balls, that they might not even know now are going to be deemed illegal?
Well, we're going to grandfather in all the older balls.
Oh.
We're just saying any new ball manufactured, because we don't want to take bowling balls out of bowlers' hands.
Right. And what have the bowling ball companies said about this? Are they happy about it?
Well, bowling ball companies have actually worked with us in a partnership in these specifications and in the testing. We really couldn't have done the testing without the cooperation and help of all the bowling ball manufacturers.
Paul Ridenour, research engineer for the United States Bowling Congress. Thank you very much, Paul.
No problem. Thank you.
And on our blog, go to www.npr.org/BPP and check out video of Harry, the automatic bowler, and see if you can sense any flaws in his delivery.